Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 124, Paper Terrain. That's right. This episode is devoted to paper terrain, and that might seem like an odd topic, but before I get into it, I just want to welcome all of you new and longtime listeners alike. If you are a new listener to the show, welcome. Thank you for coming and being part of our community here at Wargaming Recon. And if you are a longtime listener, thank you so much for coming back and spending this time with us and having spent all the previous amount of hours with us listening to Wargaming Recon. It's a pleasure to have all of you here. So why would paper terrain be an unusual topic for me to do here on the show? One of the things that I've often discussed is that although I am not someone who paints my stuff per se, I do believe that it is important in certain circumstances. And if you're doing those important painted miniatures and nicely crafted terrain, paper terrain usually doesn't enter anyone's mindset with it. You're thinking, oh, if I'm doing a game, I need to have really cool high-end terrain, or maybe I'm making my own, I'm getting the polystyrene out, doing this, I'm doing that. But what if you're just trying to game out, or you don't have the money for all of that? Way back in episode 84, I think it was, the episode was titled Wargaming on the Cheap, and I mentioned that one way you could wargame on the cheap was by using paper terrain, but I kind of just left it at that. I didn't go into any depth. I was looking through my stats recently, and I discovered something interesting. The phrase paper terrain is the most searched for phrase or term on our blog. People use it more than anything else, more than the word wargaming, more than Napoleonics or American River, you name it. It is the number one search for terrain phrase and term on the blog. So that got me thinking, well, if people are searching for this, why? I have a few articles about free paper terrain, and people love free stuff, so I can understand that. I thought I should maybe spend a little more time on this topic. What better way than to devote an entire episode for your listening pleasure? Before I go any further, I really need to stress that you will want to remember the web address for the show notes. wargamingforums.com/WR124. wargamingforums.com/WR124. Why? I'm going to be throwing a bunch of web addresses at you throughout the episode. I don't expect you to remember those. Chances are you're listening on your way to work, you're commuting, you're exercising, you're painting, or maybe you're at work. Any of these are activities where you would be precluded from getting to a computer and looking something up. So I understand that. If nothing else, you need to remember that web address for the show, for the show notes. You're going to find it, wargamingforums.com/WR124, like I said. That will have links to everything I'm talking about in this episode. So it'll have links to the free terrain, it'll have links to places where you can pay for stuff, it'll have links to just about anything of use for you. If you're not interested in paper terrain, you really still should listen to this episode, because by the end of it, I think you might be interested, and if nothing else, you should definitely give paper terrain a try. Now, that being said, let's list some of the pros and some of the cons of paper terrain, because as with anything in life, there's good and there's bad, right? If the sun is shining, well, yay, the sun is shining. It's a wonderful day outside. It's beautiful, but that means maybe you have to go outside, or maybe it's too hot, or maybe there are other things going on that you just wouldn't like to do, but you have to because the sun is shining. And something as wonderful as the sun shining, it does have those cons, right? So if that has cons and has pros, so does paper terrain. So what are some of the pros of paper terrain? I think there are more than this, but I'm only going to list three. First, paper terrain is affordable or even free. Depending on where you go, you can get paper terrain for a fraction of the cost of anything that's made in resin, plastic, polystyrene, or anything you craft yourself of standard 3D terrain. Things, when you make a hill or you're building a forest, for example, simple terrain like that, or a river, any of that kind of stuff is going to cost you more. And it's definitely cheaper than buying that pre-made stuff, even buying the materials, like the Woodland Scenics materials, to create your own terrain by taking pre-made items and material and putting it together. I found a fair amount of really good paper terrain that is like a fraction of the cost. And with most paper terrain, once you purchase it, you have the rights to make as many copies of it as you want. Whereas if you were to buy, let's say, a barn, right? You buy a barn from Architects of War, you have to pay for each barn that you purchase. You're buying stone walls, you need some really cool large-scale stone walls, so you go to All the King's Men. You have to buy every single stone wall. Whereas if you were going to make them out of paper terrain, you find an appropriate vendor, you purchase them, and then you just print out as many copies as you need and put them together and so forth. So paper terrain, it's very affordable, or it can even be free. There's a lot of free options for paper terrain out there. Some of them are retired rangers, manufacturers just want to give you the stuff. Maybe it's a loss leader, as they say in the industry, where they know you're not giving them any money for the free product. But maybe the free product is tied in to a game where you purchase the rules, or you're purchasing actual minis, for example. Others like to give you a free sample or samples, so that way you can try before you buy, which is a great thing. You can print out one and see how you think of it. Do you like the way it looks on the table? Do you like the artwork? How accessible was it for you to construct and everything? And then if you like it enough, then you'll buy their other paid ones. Number two, paper terrain makes it easy to build a varied collection. This goes back to the point I was just talking about, where you can print out as many copies of a piece of terrain as you want. Let's say you need to build up a Roman town, an ancient Roman town, for a game of Hail Caesar. Well, previously you'd have to find the manufacturer, you'd have to order each piece, but maybe the manufacturer doesn't make all of the pieces. So you buy a couple from this one, buy a couple from another one, you try to make your own stuff. It's not always going as planned, and it becomes difficult. You have to track down all these disparate entities and try to make sure that they work, and then you're hoping that they all work together, because I don't know about you, but whenever I've looked at just models, looking at different manufacturers' models, if they say they're whatever scale, the 1/72nd scale, they don't always jive up. You have to see, will they fit together? Do they look right? But with paper terrain manufacturers, because it is easier to distribute this stuff, and it costs them less money for that, they're able to create more of it and a larger variety of it. It's just like if you were to buy a book, you want to read a book in a series, it's much easier for the book publisher to distribute ebook copies of it. Those digital copies of the book, they can just do this and that. Next thing you know, you have a whole range of it. You can send it out to as many people as you need. And it's the same with paper terrain, because with computers being as wonderful as they are now, technology just making it so easy, you can find the appropriate vendors that you like, find the companies, say, oh, they have a good range of stuff that you want, that you need. And you buy this, oh, that's free, you do this. Next thing you know, you printed out your entire ancient Roman town, easy as pie. Number three, it is quick to obtain. Paper terrain is literally this fast. You find the vendor, you click on a button that lets you buy it now, or if it's free, you click on a thing that just says print, you print it out, and then you have it. Of course, you have to construct it, but that is 1, 2, 3 to purchase it and print it out. It is extremely fast. Whereas with any other sort of traditional terrain piece, you have to find the appropriate vendor, the manufacturer. Then you have to go to your local game store, hope that they have it in stock. If they don't have it in stock, you have to special order it, and then you have to wait. Or if you're ordering it online direct from the maker of the terrain, you place your order, you hope that it gets in, then a human has to look at it, and next thing you know, you're waiting for the confirmation email to say that it's in. Then they have to package it up and wait for the shipping company to pick it up. Then the shipping company has to send it to you. You have to hope that you're home when the shipping company delivers it, because not all shipping companies will leave every product right on your doorstep. Some will, some won't. It depends. And then, meanwhile, days and days, weeks maybe sometimes, can even go by before you get that terrain piece from the traditional method. Paper terrain, 1, 2, 3. You find it online. pay for it, print it out. You can't get any simpler than that. Now, what are some of the cons? Okay. Number one, assembling or constructing paper terrain can be fiddly. It really depends on the individual piece and the manufacturer. Some manufacturers have gotten very smart about this, and they've done like a grading system, so to speak, for the terrain. They'll have something that's easier for a beginner to do. The novice is going to have a harder time doing some of this, especially if you've never done it before. So if you're able to start on an easier piece, it's great. But if you have something that, say, is round, you're building a windmill or a grain silo, that might, oddly enough, be trickier to do than a standard, I'm just going to use that barn again as an example, or a house, just a regular simple log cabin. It's going to be much harder to do one of those other things than this. Paper terrain manufacturers understand that, and they try to have done it to make it easier for all of us. But at the same time, there's no standard for any of this. And so what one company thinks is easy is harder than we would hope. And so when you are approaching this, you look at what the instructions are. Hopefully they gave you some good instructions. Otherwise, you're on your own. And you have to try to figure out how to do this thing. And it's not always going to work as you hope. There can be a steep learning curve with this. Number two, paper terrain construction requires specific tools. That's true of most things in life. At minimum, for this, you need a really sharp and sturdy hobby knife, preferably one that you don't use for anything other than paper terrain, because some models will require you to score portions of it, others you'll have to cut out. You can also use a good pair of scissors. Whenever you use a model knife, you need to have a good surface to have underneath it. You don't want to be doing it on your fancy dining room table or even your workbench, because if you're using your workbench for this, you're probably also using it for when you're painting and you're going to get the paint on there and everything, and that could perhaps get on your models. Get one of those good cutting mats. The self-healing ones are great. You'll want a good steel or metallic ruler, a nice straight edge, because there's nothing more important than being able to cut along those lines straightly. Otherwise, your buildings are going to be topsy-turvy. And these are just a few of the things you'll need. Of course, you're going to need glue. You'll need a good white glue, Elmer's glue, to give the name of a company here in the U.S., but a white glue, a PVA glue for your stuff. Some of the paper terrain doesn't need to be glued, but most of it does. And of course, you need a good attention to detail for those instructions, which hopefully should be there. Like I said, there are other tools that are suggested. We'll get into that a little bit later in an unusual way. And then number three, just like the assembly can be fiddly, the quality can greatly vary. One manufacturer is going to be great, another one's going to suck, and you won't know until you look at the stuff and until you try to put it together, which is why one of the pros that I mentioned, that it's very affordable, and even the companies that charge usually have free samples, why that's so important. You could look at something and say, oh, I think this is going to be really easy, and this has happened to me. And then you try to do it, and you're like, I can't do this. Or something looks really good on the screen, and you think the artwork's amazing, and it's just going to look great on the table, and then when you actually get it together, you realize it's a piece of crap. The plus side of this is, like I said, stuff is affordable, so you spend a few bucks, it didn't work out, whereas if you were to get a traditional terrain piece, a building, it's going to cost you 30, 50, 80 bucks, and if it arrives after you looking online and you're like, oh, it looked good online, and you see a person and it's a piece of crap, or it's just riddled with bubbles from the mold process, or all this extra work has to be done to it, that can be discouraging. Paper terrain, since it's so cheap, it doesn't hurt as much. And like I said, a lot of them have free samples, so you try the free sample first, and then if it all goes according to plan, then spend your money. Just one way to get around that con, but the con still exists there. So now that I've listed these pros and these cons, and I mentioned some of the tools that one would need to make paper terrain, to construct it and put it together, where are some places that you can get paper terrain? What are some good resources for you? This is not an exhaustive list. It's not even really extensive, but these are some places that I've found through my travels that have been worth looking at. There's a combination of free options. Some are paid. Some are both, which kind of sounds odd. And some have a pay-what-you-want method, which is something that I've covered on a previous episode of this show. But pay-what-you-want is basically a method of payment where you determine how much the item is worth to you. If it's your first time trying that particular manufacturer, maybe you're not going to pay anything. Do you pay a dollar or 50 cents or something? And if you love what they have, maybe you're going to pay a higher amount because you're like, this is really good quality and it's worth $5 or $10 for the thing. Especially since you know you're going to print 80 copies of it once you purchase it. Something to keep in mind. So going down my list, and it looks like I have four places on the web that you can get paper terrain. So the first one is War Game Vault. Need to mention, we are a publisher on War Game Vault, but we also belong to their affiliate program. So links to War Game Vault that you see in the show notes on our site, or just about anywhere that we promote War Game Vault, will be affiliate links. So what does that mean? That means should you click on the link and then purchase something from War Game Vault, we get a small commission. It's tiny. And it is very important for you to understand that we use the affiliate links because we can get some money out of it. But we don't promote anything on there that we don't believe in. That's a firm policy of mine. It's always been that way. If I don't like something, if I don't think it's good, I'm not going to talk about it. You're not going to get on the show. I'm not going to say anything bad about you, but you just won't get any airtime at all. So if I'm saying War Game Vault is cool, and I'm going to mention a couple publishers on there, I firmly believe that they're cool. I've tried this stuff. I think it's worth your time and effort. In general, War Game Vault is just, it's a great place to look. They have a lot of paper terrain and paper models, or as I like to call this, print and play. Most of their stuff has a nominal cost. Some of it is free. The stuff that has a nominal cost, a lot of the publishers will have free samples, like I said. Some use that pay what you want method. You can find all the stuff on there. I've already done the searching and created a special link for you. It's wargamingforums.com/wargamevaultpaperterrain. You don't need to remember that. I'm just putting it out there in case you're at a computer as you listen to this and you're like, I want to go to wargamingforums.com/wargamevaultpaperterrain to see what's on there. You don't need to remember it. It's in the show notes. Don't worry, people. I'll tell you the show note web address at the end of the show. What are a couple of the publishers on there that I think are worth your time to look into? So the first one is Dave Graffam. He makes fantastic 28mm buildings that would be suitable for fantasy, historical gaming. You can scale his stuff anywhere from 15mm to 30mm. They are intended for 28mm, but like I said, you can scale them down, scale them up, so that way you could do some for things for like Flames of War, you could use them for just about any GW game out there, your own homebrew stuff. Everything looks really good. He's done a great job with his stuff. And one of the things that I think really says a lot about Dave Graffam and his company and his product is that he has the hands down, in my opinion, best paper terrain guide, which you can get from Wargame Vault, and it's free. Wargamingforums.com/paperterrainguide. It walks you through the tools you need, the process of this, how you can get into constructing paper terrain, why you would want to. It covers it all, and it does it in easy, clear, concise, understandable language. Has photos, you get it for free, you print it out, and just walk through it. It will help you a lot. He has a variety of buildings on his store through War Game Vault. It's worth checking out. None of the stuff is expensive, and he usually will even discount stuff below what his standard price is. So if something's $5.95, next thing you know, it will routinely go on sale. It'll be $3.95 or $2.95. Then he has quite a bit of stuff that's that pay what you want method, so you can get some of it free and pay whatever you think it's worth later on. Another option is Eric Hotz from Hotz Stuff. He makes great 6mm ancient Roman terrain. You can get this and use it, of course, for just about any ancient rule set out there. Warhammer Historicals, you can do it for Hail Caesar. I know 6mm is a popular scale for people to use in ancients. But I also know it's not ideal. For example, I'm doing 1/72 scale for Ancients. I purchased some of his 6mm thinking, oh, I could scale it up, but I should have known better. 6mm scaled up sounds great. You could do it on a computer, it's no problem. But then try printing it out on an 8.5x11 size regular piece of paper. You can't. So that's one caveat to kind of think about when you're looking at stuff. You can scale things to just about any size you want when you print them out. But will it be able to fit on a sheet of paper? Think about it. But his stuff is gorgeous. He has a lot of buildings. He even has his own naval game. It's an ancient Roman naval game. It's like, I believe it's called Roman Seas. So he has triremes and biremes and galleys and all that kind of stuff. Carthaginians and Romans, I believe, and even pirate ones. You can print them out. You purchase them. Again, very, very affordable. Play the game. I haven't played his game, but I printed out some of his stuff, and the stuff looks amazing. It's just very detailed. It's gorgeous. A great way that you can get some stuff. So what's another place that you can do this? GHQ offers free terrain suitable for micro-armor. Do you remember micro-armor? It was big, what was that, back in the 60s and the 70s, I guess? It's 1/285th scale. People like to use it for World War I, World War II, actually, I think, even more so, World War II sort of stuff. I know some people like to do Cold War's Commander would be one that you could probably benefit from this. And this is free terrain. WarGamingForums.com/GHQ free stuff will get you to it. And there's all sorts of stuff on that page. You scroll down to the bottom and you'll find all the paper terrain. It's free. Print it out. It's good to go. What else? World Works Games. They sell their paper terrain. They have a large collection of it on their website. They do have some free samples in their Terrain Links line. I would say it's best suited for sci-fi, fantasy, modern, and pulp gaming with a focus on sci-fi fantasy. You can get that at wargamingforums.com/worldworksterrain. And they have a variety of stuff. It looks really good. Aesthetically, it's probably closer to Dave Graham's stuff as opposed to Eric Hotz's. But that just kind of gives you an idea of what it is. It's worth taking a peek at. Hunt down the free samples. Print them out, see what you think. And if the other stuff works for it, it's great. There's actually a lot of stuff on there I would think would be fantastic for a great zombie game. This episode, of course, is coming out in October. October is when Halloween is celebrated here in the U.S. and I believe other parts of the world, which means scary things like zombies are really popular. So you might want to head over to World Works Games, print out some cool zombie-appropriate paper terrain, and run a zombie game for Halloween. Why not? Number four, this is a final resource on the list, but number four is Wargaming Recon. Surprise! So I said earlier in the episode that paper terrain is the most searched term on our blog. If you go to WarGamingForums.com or WarGamingRecon.com and do a search for paper terrain or free paper terrain, you'll find a few articles. You'll find some stuff that's appropriate for modern wargaming from a cool line. It's called Combat. Oh, heck. You would think that I would have done my research before recording any of this and looked up what it was before. I'm like, it's Combat something. And what would it be? Well, I get that information, and I should have got it beforehand, so I do apologize. Combat Storm. Combat Storm is a cool, modern rule set that you use army models, classic army men. But what could you use the terrain for? They've released a decent amount of free buildings and terrain. You could use it with Force on Force. Nice, modern system. It's perfect. Scale is 28 mil, I believe. And some of it's 1/72nd. You can scale it either way. It would work. So I have articles on there with links to stuff like that, with links to GHQ and other paper terrain options. So you could head on over to Wargaming Recon and you can find that stuff. It's wargamingforums.com/paperterrain. Again, don't worry. Don't think you have to remember any of those web addresses. Why? The show notes will have them. I'll give you the web address near the end of this episode for the show notes. I gave it to you at the top. I'll give it to you again near the end. So that is what I have to say about paper terrain. Don't be surprised if I come back to it and add another episode. Something I'm probably going to do. But let's move on. I want to get into the mailbag section of the show. Mailbag has increasingly become, let's talk about Facebook. Because Facebook is a social media network that we use pretty heavily. We try to use other things like Twitter and so forth. But Facebook's really where we're at. And on Facebook, we try to have two or more posts a day, photos and cool things. So right now, we're finishing a week of pirate gaming coverage with photos from the War Games Holiday Center in Crete. Many thanks to John and Diane for taking these fantastic photos. Each of these have come from the War Games Holiday Center Facebook page. We're sharing them with a little commentary on our Facebook page as well. So you can check those out. And we've been trying to do theme weeks. But one or more weeks where we have all of our content, all of our posts on Facebook, focus on a specific theme. Did one very recently, which had great period World War I color photographs. These were color at the time, not like color later on. of World War One. Fantastic photographs that we've shared. We did another one on just naval wargaming, which covered space naval wargaming and traditional, like, Age of Sail and World War II naval wargaming from the folks at Manned Battle Stations. Did a whole week on content from War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy magazine. That was in honor of Jesper Ortiz coming on for his time to talk about the Great Wargaming Survey, which was a lot of fun. That was actually the episode just before this. That was episode 123. So try to do all that kind of stuff. And coming up, we're hoping to do a week of nothing but content created by you. That's right. Any models you've painted, buildings you've constructed or painted, send photos to us. You can do that at our new email address of jonathan@wargamingrecon.com or send a private message on Facebook. You know, all the usual ways. Link us to where stuff is. Just give us permission to share it. We're hoping to do at least 1 week worth of content. Depends on how much we get. I know that some people have already said that we could have some stuff. Superstar GM Mike Payne, for example, had volunteers and stuff. Listener Adam from the Fencing Frog blog has said that he will send some photos of his work. And we just want to highlight things that you guys have been working on. Know that there's a lot of you who have strong talents in the fields of painting and terrain. So I want to promote that and just say, hey, look how awesome all of you are. Want to get that up on our Facebook page. So what else is going on? Well, we have some announcements. Most importantly, I want to remind all of you that on October 25th, I will be participating in the Extra Life Gamerthon. It's going to be a 24-hour gamerthon where I play games for 24 hours to benefit Boston Children's Hospital. Boston Children's Hospital is the local, largest, most amazing children's hospital to me. They do all sorts of stuff to help kids. And how is this going to be great? Well, of course, it's helping kids, so we like that, right? But Extra Life does things with a twist. Not only are they getting gamers into it, all types of gamers, but what they do is they raise money and then they donate it to whatever children's hospital that you've chosen that belongs to their network, or you could just have it go to the network as a whole and it goes to wherever has the most need, but I've chosen Boston Children's Hospital. And then the money goes to help kids get treatment that they desperately need, regardless of their family's ability to pay. What does this mean, right? It means that there are a lot of kids out there who face scary diseases, things like cancer, cystic fibrosis. Their families don't have the money for the treatment. And if the families can't afford to pay, they don't get it. These kids are suffering. A lot of these kids have these terminal illnesses, and without help, that's it, they're done. Extra Life gives the money so that the kids have a chance. They can get the treatment they need. They can get the chemotherapy. They can get their radiology. They can get the help for cystic fibrosis and whatever other ailments that they have. These scary, scary diseases and problems that children's hospitals everywhere help. I have a little cousin. Her name's Gracie. I've talked about her before on the show. She was born with cystic fibrosis. It's also known as CF. It is a respiratory disease. Generally, it shortens her life. Average person lives into their 80s, right? People with CF don't. They're lucky to live into their 20s or their 30s. Every so often, she has to go into children's, and she has her lungs cleaned out. Her airways and her lungs build up with crud is the best way I can describe it. She needs to get it cleaned out so she can breathe properly. It's very, very unpleasant. It's not something I would want to have to do. No one wants to have to deal with that. But it needs to be done. And Children's makes this very unpleasant thing into something that's a little more pleasant. They go above and beyond to make the experience something that she can tolerate, that she can go and do and not make a fuss. Gracie is simply amazing. She inspires me every day with how good she deals with all of this. She's just a young kid dealing with this scary disease that she's had her entire life. She doesn't fuss. She doesn't cry. She doesn't act like a martyr. She just puts her best foot forward, does her best, has a smile, and she looks forward to everything in life. And I don't know if it's because on some level she realizes that she has to make the most of it, or if that's just how she is, but it's a blessing. I can't imagine having CF. As I've talked about on the show, my wife and I are expecting. When you have a baby now, they do a lot of pre-testing before the baby comes while you're significant other, in my case, is pregnant. One of the tests is to see what sort of chance there is that your kid will have Down syndrome or to have CF. And we're lucky that it doesn't look like our baby will have either one of those. But what if the baby was to have something like CF? Or what if the baby was to come down with cancer or something? What then? That's when a place like Boston Children's Hospital and the Extra Life charity can make a difference in someone's life. So I'm asking you, if you're able, to please just support me however you can. Spread the word. Make a donation if you're able to. Raise money on your own. Find a charity near you that would make a difference. And hold your own gaming session for the Extra Life 24-Hour Gameathon. I'm going to do gaming here and just see how it goes. I can tell you that right now I have a goal of $200, and I am just $40 away from that goal. $40 can make a huge difference for this charity and for these kids. So if any of you are able to make a financial contribution, I would appreciate it. I try not to ask for money on the show. And again, it's not for me. It's going to charity. All your donations are tax deductible. The proceeds help the kids in need. $40 away from reaching my goal of $200. You can make a donation by going to wargamingforums.com/charity. Simple as that. wargamingforums.com/charity. You can make a donation online with your credit or debit card. You can earn miles or points or whatever you get. Then you can help some kids in need. What else do we have for you? Well, we got some upcoming guests, and this is more, it's happier than what I was just talking about. So on episode 125, which comes out on October 27, 2014, I am delighted to say that I have two guests coming back who I loved having before. John and Diane Sutherland, they are prolific authors and war gamers, and they do all sorts of stuff. They are going to be coming on, and they're going to be talking about what they've been up to, but they're also going to be talking about the War Games Holiday Center. Some of you may know, and most of you probably don't. It has closed permanently. It's not something that they wanted to happen. I don't know the details, but we'll find out on the episode. So I'm looking forward to being able to share that information with all of you. And then also frequent guest Aaron Boschian is going to be coming on for the Holiday Gift Guide 2014 episode. That will release November 24th, 2014. The Holiday Gift Guide is something that I've tried to make an annual tradition here, where I just share products that might be suitable for you to tell others that might make a good gift for you, because as war gamers, we're kind of hard to buy for, aren't we? A lot of people don't understand what our hobby is. Try explaining it to a non-war gamer, and they just look at you like, what? You do what with little men? Those are toys. I don't understand. So let's make it easier on these other people in our lives. Or maybe you want to make a purchase for a fellow war gamer. I'm sure that the Holiday Gift Guide can help you to choose what might make a cool and fun gift. So like I said, that'll be November 24th, 2014. Over the years, I've been very lucky to have a variety of incredible guests here on the show, and I'd love to know who you would like me to have here. If you happen to be able to share contact information or an introduction, please get in touch with me, or if you just want to tell me who you'd like to have on, send an email, send a message on Facebook. I'd love to hear who you'd like to have on. You can see a photo collage of some of the guests. I'll have a link to that, of course, in the show notes. And then we have the episode guy. I talked about this for almost the whole podcast season of 2014 because it's a cool thing that I've been trying to do. I think it helps a lot. It helps me, and I think it helps all of you. The episode guide allows you to see what upcoming shows are going to be, what the topics, the release dates. It even lets you see what previous ones were because they keep it all up for, well, forever, really. So I can tell you, since we're near the end of the 2014 podcast season, I can tell you what will be coming out for every single episode from now until, well, until we start the next podcast season. So we have the next episode, as I said. It's episode 125. John and Diane Sutherland are coming on to talk about the War Games Holiday Center being closed permanently and along with what else they are working on. Episode 126 will be the Holiday Gift Guide 2014 with Aaron Boschian. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun, as I'm sure you will find it to be. It's one of the episodes I look forward to the most every year. This one, and when Henry Hyde comes on, they're just about neck and neck for me. Then episode 127 will be my Extra Life 24-Hour Gamathon coverage. Like I said, I'm going to be doing gaming for 24 hours during the Gamathon. I might even do some live video. I might might get some audio, but I'm going to be talking about, in episode 127, what games I played, what I did, talk about the charity some more, and of course I will give thank yous to those who spread the word, who were able to make financial contributions, and just who helped out in a variety of ways. Episode 128 is when I will look back on the 2014 podcast season. That one comes out December 8th, and that will be the final new episode for the 2014 podcast season. But don't worry, there will be two more episodes coming out before we actually get into the 2015 calendar year. On December 22nd, which is my birthday, and on January 5th, 2015, I will release two best of episodes. Well, what are they going to be? I don't know about you, but when it gets to be that time of year, when the holidays are happening, all the radio stations do these best of things, and I'm like, oh my god, I hate this, why are they doing it? But then, they end up playing a bit or a show that I just really enjoyed, and I was so glad they played it again. And that's why I'm doing it here. In the past, I've taken those few weeks off so that I can celebrate my birthday and celebrate the holidays, and then gear up and prep for the new podcast season. And I don't want to just leave you with dead air. So what I am going to do is I will look back at the 2014 podcast season, and I will pick two, just two, episodes that I really enjoyed, ones that I think are some of the best content released to you this 2014 podcast season. And one will come out on my birthday, December 22nd, 2014, and the other will release on January 5th, 2015. And then the new season comes out for your listening pleasure on January 19th, 2015, episode 130 releases. I don't have a theme or content just yet. There will be some. And I know some of you may have been worried because I have mentioned that my wife and I are expecting. The baby is due beginning of February, end of January. Don't worry. I will be taking a break from podcasting for a little bit when the baby comes. I'm not giving it up. I will come back. But there'll still be content for you to have because I'm getting some episodes stocked up for you so I can just easily release them. I want to remind you that, of course, the Sutherlands will be on episode 125, and that if you like what we do here on Wargaming Recon, I hope that you could leave us a review and rating on iTunes. You may not use iTunes to listen to us, but I would recommend that you do because it makes it easy to subscribe. And when you subscribe to the show on iTunes, you automatically get new content. You don't have to go to our website and click play and stream it live. You don't have to worry about doing anything else or physically downloading it. It just happens automatically on your computer. And you get it. And iTunes is the number one way that people find and listen to podcasts. It's just a fact. So if you send us a rating, if you rate us on there, and if you even more importantly review us, you help to grow the hobby because you make it easy for others to find the show and to listen. If someone's looking on iTunes and they see two shows about wargaming, and they see one that has lots of great reviews and they see another that doesn't, which one are they going to listen to? If it was me, I'd listen to the one with all the great reviews. I'd say, well, let me try this one. So the more you review this show, the more likely other people will listen to it. And that's as simple as it is. I've shared some reviews from the past. Steve B. from Canada left a 4-star review. Josh Weaver from the UK left another 4-star review. There's been all sorts of reviews. You can easily leave a review and rate us by going to wargamingforums.com/iTunes. Try to make it easy for you. Don't worry. Link will be in the show notes. So that way you can go to one place and get everything. If you want to get in touch with me, and I'd love for you to do so, the show notes are the best way to do that because it has links to everything. wargamingforums.com/WR124. wargamingforums.com/WR124. It'll have links to all the paper terrain stuff I talked about. It'll have links to Extra Life so you can make a donation, so you can spread the word. It'll have links to how you can get in touch with me, such as Facebook, email, or Twitter. It'll even have links to the episode guide and that guest collage and all that kind of cool stuff. So don't forget the address for those show notes, wargamingforums.com/WR124. That's one piece of information you should remember, if nothing else, from this episode. So until next time, we will be working on that special episode with the Sutherlands. It does release on October 27th, 2014. As always, thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you have found it to be of interest and to be useful, please check out some of those cool people training places that I've mentioned. And no matter how busy your life is, no matter what's going on, no matter how many pieces of paper terrain you are constructing, you need to, you gotta keep on gaming. I have something amazing to tell you all about. So, listener Dave is doing something wonderful. He's wanted to support me in raising money for the Extra Life charity. As I've mentioned a lot, and I will continue to do so, I'm doing the Extra Life charity 24-hour game-a-thon that happens on October 25th, 2014. I'll be podcasting about that later on this podcast season. But what Dave is doing, and I have to say, it really is fantastic. He has painted a 28mm metal Perry Brothers French Cursor Trumpeter model. It's from the 5th Regiment. It is painted with foundry acrylics in the style of Kevin Dallimore. And what Dave is doing with this is he's placed it up on eBay to auction it. All the money that he gets, all the proceeds, including postage and that kind of stuff, all the proceeds are then going to be donated to Extra Life on my behalf. The model, as I said, is a gorgeous 28mm painted model. It's by the Perry Brothers. Listener Dave has painted it. It's based on MDF. He's used flocks, sand, rocks, and what to me look to be some of those tufts from the Army Painter. I absolutely adore those. So I want to say, first of all, the bidding starts at £17.99 British pounds, which is roughly $28.84 American. The auction ends in the evening of October 20th, 2014. Please consider placing a bid on this. I have to tell you, the model looks gorgeous. I'm tempted myself to place a bid on it because it is really amazing. I don't do Napoleonics, but I just think it would look great to have on display. You could have it at your desk, be inspiration for maybe a chance to get into Napoleonics if you've never been into it before. Head on over to wargamingforums.com/eBay charity. That'll get you directly to the auction. You can see more photos. You can place a bid on it. If you can't bid or it's not your thing, I understand. I would ask, though, that you spread the word about the auction. The more people who know about it, the more likely someone or someones will bid in it, and hopefully the more money that can be raised for the Extra Life charity. So thank you again to Dave for your immense generosity and ingenuity. This is the kind of thing that I really love. I am so grateful that I have all of you wonderful podcast listeners out there. You are an amazing group. And to see you just come together and have this desire to help others, that's huge for me. It's something I see time and time again amongst wargamers. And of course, it doesn't have to be just wargamers, but something about wargamers. We want to help other people. We want to improve things around us. So I am just grateful to belong to such an incredible community. And of course, you want to see some more photos of this model. I'm sure you do. So head on over to our show notes. There'll be photos there, and photos will also appear on our Facebook page. So until then, please spread the word about the eBay charity auction or place a bid on it yourself or both. Why not? So you can get the link to that in the show notes. Just spread the word, and let's see how much money we can raise to help some kids in need.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday, talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it, as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com.